Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house. For the radio, we've been waiting for you. Jeremy is in the eagle's nest, as I call it, with our organist. He's up there playing our music this day, leading our worship. We're glad he is. This is the ending of a season, and next week, the beginning of a new church year. For the churches that not begin January 1st, which is calendar secular, it does begin liturgical with Advent. Four Sundays preceding the Nativity of our Lord makes it December 1st this calendar year. So, this is the end of the year of the season of Pentecost. Oh, you can come on up. Oh, you're going to go run. Okay. There's always room for Presley. Oh, yes, see? Yes, here he comes. Welcome. And this Sunday is also for us, because we postponed it 1 week, our congregational meeting. And this meeting is taking place after each of the two services. We've been doing that for a decade, just to accommodate and make possible for all members to participate in decision-making for this congregation's life and mission. So, after the order of service for this day, Christ the King, we go into our business mode. For those on the radio, we'll keep you along with us. After we begin, it will be the election process. Deacons will be distributing documents. And I guess, Jeremy, if you could play some music while that takes place so it's not dead air on the radio, we'll indicate when that is. Then the next thing that takes place will be presentation and adoption of a budget, which has come out of a finance committee, come through the church council this last Tuesday, and comes to the membership today, okay, for approval for next year's mission and life. Also on top, to put cream de la creme, is we have a potluck. Food galore. So join us downstairs, approximately 12:30, 12:40. We'll go down there. Now, something new. It is by the narthex table. You may have walked in, gotten your bulletin, and come and sat without even looking. There is our annual Christmas tree, giving tree. And on that, Terry has put our tags, which are for different items or monies for food or specific things, okay? So those are specified. As an overview, we have two families we're helping, as we have for the last decade. There will be a total of three girls, one boy. They range in years from 5 to 9 years of age. Give you parameters, okay? Take the gifts back there, bring them. Here's the thing, details, because in the beginning, when we started partnering with Salvation Army, we had everything come back unwrapped, or wrapped and unmarked. Oh, nightmare for those who are in charge. So we have learned to be specific. When you bring the gifts back, wrap them with the original tag you get back here. Then we know how to distribute and organize it for delivery. Voila. So work with us. Make it happen for the benefit of the youth and the families. Greatly appreciated. Our worship begins then with confession of sin, if you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, healer of our every ill, source of unending mercy. Amen. Embraced in enduring grace and good hope, let us turn again to God, confessing the truth about ourselves. Merciful God, we come before you, beloved but broken. We have not always treated others as we would want them to treat us. We have not always called out injustice and abuse. We have not always been kind to ourselves. We have not always taken care of the world we share with other living creatures. Remind us of who we are. Beloved children, bathed in your love, renew us by your Spirit to live as your holy people, bringing healing to the brokenness around us. Amen. At every moment, you are held in existence by the love of God. Renewed by the Spirit within and among you, you are made alive again in Christ. So receive this assurance. In Jesus' name, you are forgiven. You are free to live for the healing of the world. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hymn of praise this day is, Lord, I lift your name on high, and it continues to the next page. Thank you. be with you. If you would join me in the prayer of the day, we'll pray together. O God, our true life, to serve you in freedom and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. Tony Gaines, first lecture for the Word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading builds on the common ancient Near Eastern metaphor of the king as shepherd. Judah's unjust rulers have caused their people, their flock, to be scattered. Nevertheless, the Lord will raise up a new and righteous shepherd who will rule a restored Judah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you've not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tony. Second reading, Judy Avers, coming forward.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Judy.
Second reading comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Word of God, Word of Life.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Judy. The gospel lesson we stand for, if you'll please rise as you are able. We speak together the Alleluia acclamation. Alleluia. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Alleluia. And the gospel for this day is from Luke, the final reading of the season of Pentecost, Luke being the primary gospel. Chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. Glory to you, O Lord. So when they came to this place, it was called the Skull, they crucified Jesus with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by. They were watching, but the leaders scoffed at Jesus, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up, offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription that was placed by Pilate over his head. This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hanged there was deriding him, saying, You're not the Messiah. Save yourself and us if you are. But the other one rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed, because we have been condemned justly, but we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then that man who spoke said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Lord Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Should tell you, even while I was sitting here prior to the reading of the lessons, and certainly as they were read to me, my thoughts and organization of the meditation sermon for this day have changed. Similar to what I had in mind, it changed. So if you look at the sermon outline and then walk through the scripture, you're going to see why. In the back, the overarching theme I say is, meet your King of life and death. He is your salvation. That's consistent. We're going to stay with that. Meet your King, Christ the King Sunday. He is the Lord of life and death. Your salvation, my salvation. First reading, as the Old Testament does so well. We've heard a lot of scathing attacks about the people of God from Hosea, from Isaiah, Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is focused, laser focused on who? Shepherds. Who are shepherds? They are humans. They are people who have served within the ecclesiology of the Jewish faith. What's that mean? Priests? No less. Tribe of Levite? No less. Knowledgeable, skilled, but perverted. Perverted. They've changed the context of God's revelation to Israel. And they were so smug in doing it, and so gradual they reoriented God's people away from the truth. How's that? Can the church or a people of God led by its leaders go astray? I think Martin Luther would say yes. It can happen. What's the issue? Listen to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord that came to him said, I have sent them on a mission. They have changed the course and direction of that mission. I wanted them to nurture and care for my flock, that my flock would not be confused, lost, or I should lose any of them. God has a heart for his people that never, never stops. And no human will get in the way.
No human government, form of government, will stop God from having God's way. Well, in the in-between time, not only are they going to be accountable to me, all those ones who have distorted what I intended my people to hear and receive in the course of their religious training and life, I'm going to require it of them. Just because you have credentials or earned nation or genealogy of being another tribe of Levite, you are not, you know, bypass judgment. On contrary, more is expected of you than probably the sheep. So God promises vindication, judgment upon them. But he says in this in-between time, till the perfect one comes, I'm still going to supply you with shepherds. God does not leave us in limbo like we're going to be leaderless. You ever see a flock of birds or something that does not have a leader bird or an alpha character? They just run helter-skelter. They don't know what's going on because they heard a sound. It spooked them. They need a leader. God's people, humans, need leaders. That's never condemned at all in Scripture. But it's a leader that is sensitive to God, led by the Spirit of God, faithful to God. And like I think I referenced on the Good Shepherd's and prior just in the last few weeks, the shepherd doesn't run when danger arrives. The shepherd stays to repel the attack upon the sheep. That's the sign of the true shepherd. And then one day, a perfect one will come. Jeremiah never saw it. You and I will never see it until we die or Jesus Christ returns. The perfect one. He will be the one who shepherds us. The Revelation account says there's going to myriads and myriads of people wash their gowns in the blood of the Lamb. The redeemed of God will now behold the shepherd to lead his people. Now, let's take it out of the Scripture context. Let's deal with real time and history. This is the part that came to me. The issue of the priesthood. We know by the days of Jesus Christ, they did not believe in a resurrection. That's fact, historical fact. They only accepted five books of the Bible as inspired of the 39. The Pharisees took all 39. So they could not see that a resurrection is in our future, and you live by the law. Well, that's damning. It condemns. What a control factor when religious people have power. And they abused it. We can track it. Now you may say to yourself, oh, when we're Christians, we won't do that, right? Oh, give me church history. We're human. I'll go back to the phrase used in political science major I took. Power corrupts. Absolute power absolutely corrupts. Never forget that. So the church is born. Those first 200 years, we're pretty good flying along. And we have little bishops, and we have small city churches, and we have house churches. And everything seems to be going well. Now we get to the age of Constantine. Now the church is legalized as the entity of government and religious life. I don't know what else you can control. Your whole destiny is done by centralized authority. Some would say that was when we were perverted. We lost it, just like the priesthood. There was a mixture. And one could use power over the other, and the other uses power over the other. And obviously, in that environment, when Luther stood before the Diet of Worms, he was asked to condemn his teachings, his writings, before the emperor, the Holy Roman Empire, political authority, as well as the entourage from Rome of the Pope. Renounce these because these are contrary to what we believe and what we teach, with a strong emphasis on we. Luther says, I will not, I cannot. It's not wise nor proper that I should work against my conscience or God's word. the liberation again that was needed, as with Christ coming to set us free. Now the church has made it through the Reformation. What goes on now? Well, depends on your political persuasion, looks at your life, and the reality of a new world. I'm not disputing that. But is tightening the reins the solution, or is it calling for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us into God's ways? The church of today, 2019, we're called to respond to this world crying out in pain. And here we are talking about structures and all these other things, and what about people? Engaging community, neighbors, business people, with love, care, compassion, self-control, gentleness. Okay? All of us are disciples. All of us are called to respond in a Christ-like attitude with other people. And I like the little dingle of the song, and says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love, not by our structures, not by our constitutions, not by our documents. Love is the greatest commandment, God, Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and 13. Keep in mind, as the church was the church during the Middle Ages, people went to a biblical passage about Romans 13, that you pay honor and respect to your earthly rulers. And that gave birth to something in Europe called the divine right of kings. If you know your European history, you understand that. They would say against their citizenry, they would say, we have the right to do anything to you God tells us. Well, who's going to check you? What is God's will? The abuses abounded. And we began to realize how people, all people, Christians and non-Christians, can take biblical passages out of context, corrupt them, manipulate them to their own end and design. Begin to understand, Lord, your reformation needs to continue every day. Go to the second reading, Colossians 1. This is building to this Christ the King ascension, so to speak. Paul gives one of the strongest testimonies of who Jesus is. He says, look, you knew him on earth. I'm telling you what is real behind the curtain. This Lord Jesus is not just a good man, teacher, prophet, healer. Good to God, good to people. He is the image of the invisible God. In him, the fullness. If you could jam into a human body the deity, creator of heavens and earth, you could put it into a frame that we possess. This was Jesus. He walked among you. He was faithful to you. He taught you the ways of God. Why don't you listen, people? Why don't you respond in obedience and faithfulness? But in his praise statement about who Jesus is, he also commends to us a life that puts everything first, always remembering what empowered Jesus was the blood of the cross. All things are given to God's people, the church. We lack nothing to do our mission in this world. We look impotent, we look small, powerless. But believe me, when we stand with God behind us and God in front of us, well, history shows we will knock down walls, silence tongues, and triumph over the victor. You come to the gospel. It's a strange way each year. We talked about it. I had the pastors here from our Blue Water Conference of the ELCA on location here at Our Savior this week. I took them through the three lessons, not just the gospel, because most pastors focus only on the gospel. I took them through the first two. In the gospel, here's the culmination. Here we get to Jesus broken. Here we get a non-world acceptance of what a king should look like. Here we get somebody powerless, weak, and bleeding on a cross. Some weeping, others jeering. And only one thief on the cross says, "When I die, remember me when you come into your power." You begin to understand how the New Testament says, what I cannot see, heart believes. That's called faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't prove God. You can't prove Jesus is the crucified Messiah. You can't do any of that stuff, so stop trying. But we can bring so much history and knowledge to that point till we do what Kierkegaard talked about in the 19th century, make a leap of faith. Forsaking all things behind us, we say, "Lord, if you're real, I need you, and catch me when I jump." And God is faithful. I remember a story of my best man at my wedding, how he was here for my anniversary. He always told us earlier, 30, 40 years ago, he says, his young son was 7 years old, standing on the banister, coming down flight of stairs in their house, how he says, my son says, "Dad, catch me." And how he knew, understood now, experientially, what the leap of faith is. Somebody's going to be there to catch you. And that person is a loving parent. When we are sprung free from this life and existence, "Lord, catch us." And we will not be disappointed. It all is banked on the King who paid the price. May the God of grace, the one who has died and crucified, promised he was going to clear up the neighborhood, I guess you could say get the alligators out of the swamp, using current language, and make it Christ-centered, be with us all. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the day, O Christ, what can it mean for us? We'll sing first and last verses to conserve time. 1 and 4. As the body of Christ, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostolic Creed. Please rise. Together we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Service continues with prayers. Jane leads us.
United with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, you are righteousness. Fill us with the hope of steadfast love and shine light on places that were invisible to us, so that we may see your kingdom made visible on earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, your reign extends from the black holes of the universe to a single grain of sand. Guide us to sustain and restore all of your creation and to live in peace with this planet. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you are exalted among nations. Protect the people in countries ravaged by violence, warfare, and hatred, and raise up wise and generous leaders to find their strength in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you are our help in times of trouble. Like a shepherd who guards the sheep, watch over your flock, those who are sick and hurting in body, mind, or spirit, those who are mocked and those who are lonely. Especially today, we remember in our prayers, Jared Lucas, Bev Chittister, Patricia May, Donna Taylor, Lisa Slider, Joel Coulthard, the families of Robert Isaacson, and the family of Bob Locke with their passing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you call us forth from this place to lives of service. Equip the outreach ministries of this congregation. Use our hands and feet, sharing Christ's love with neighbors in need. And we ask that we would remember those serving our nation here and abroad. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Faye Wright. And for those that have returned from their service and returning to our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, the beginning and the end, we rejoice that one day we will share in the inheritance of the saints. In thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, trusting that you have received them in your care. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we continue with receiving our gifts which enable our ministry for Christ. As I mentioned before, for the radio audience, we'll have Jeremy play some music while we distribute the documents for our annual congregational meeting, and then we'll begin with the election of officers. As far as the radio broadcast this day, sponsored by Wally and Cheryl D. Singh, Bill and Kay Price have donated the flowers. They're beautiful, Kay. You've seen them up there. They're gorgeous. Beautiful flowers on the altar. We have nobody signed up for snow removal, but next week we have donations that have come in that will be recognized at that time. Okay. Also, this is the week of the newsletter, so all who are part of the production crew, be notified. Donna indicated some of you, Wednesday was going to be a pinch. If so, negotiate among yourselves Tuesday, because it will be here. I will make sure all my documents are done and reproduced, and Donna's are done too. So, if we need to do it Tuesday, that's fine. Wednesday, I do remind people, we celebrate Thanksgiving Eve here at Our Savior. The tradition of Our Savior prior to my coming 26 years ago was to do it on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. When I asked the congregation in a survey, it was overwhelming, like 4-1, to do it on the eve before. So we have lived that tradition for 26 years, Thanksgiving Eve. The attendance on the day was always slim pickings, and people had other things that they were doing. So Eve is our time of worship, 7 o'clock for those on radio. This year we're not broadcasting it, though some years we have, but this year we did not make arrangements. And likewise, have a great Thanksgiving. When we come back after then, we have Advent. The following Wednesday is set up. Trustees and members are needed to bring out the cross, bring out the apparatus for the Easter, the poinsettias that will take place that Wednesday. Usually we've tried to do it in the morning, like 9:30. You talk among yourselves. I'm not going to edict it from the office, but it seems to be the best time to get people together. But some of the structural stuff has to be in place so we can start at 9:30. So please work that through. You're going to see that in bulletins and publications. Today we have a potluck. After business, 2 or 3 gather together, we eat. So join us for the potluck this Sunday. Worship continues as our gifts are presented. Please rise, we sing. First and last verse, okay, Jeremy? First and last.
God, our Creator, you give us all we are, all we have, all we bring, and all we need. Draw us together around your table with all your saints on earth and in your eternal home. Let us eat and drink your promise of new life, that we may be your promise to the world. Spoken in Jesus' name.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and drink, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. So with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God keeps adding places to his table. So come, the banquet has no end. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as directed. Come forward, receive. Dear Jane, Christ's body for you. Jane, this is Christ's blood shed for you. Take and drink. Depart in our Lord's peace. Give the power of Jesus. And Jeremy and the pastor, communion at this time.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jeremy, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I have to do this. That's okay. The body or the blood of our Christ shed for you. No, they're stuck. Blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink.
You have received the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whose death on the cross have sacrificed for our sins, and you are forgiven. Depart in our Lord's peace.
Thank you, Jay. If you'll please rise, this congregation, we will continue. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
We thank you, God, our host, for inviting us here to taste the future when you will feed all the hungry at your table. Keep this hope alive in us and in our communities so that we might bring hope to a suffering world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. I'll speak the blessing here, and Jeremy, if we can just sing the first verse of our hymn. Hear the word of God's blessing to us, signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're Christ's message of love for this troubled world, written in the same sender. May our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Father, who loved us through the grace given to us, eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts. Strengthen them in every good work as well as word. Amen. And we sing one verse. Christ is made the sure foundation, and we'll ask you to be seated.
Go in peace. Set your hope on Christ.
Thanks be to God. Okay, ask you as members of the congregation, please be seated. I don't see anybody under the age of 18, so I guess you're all able to vote. Let's see. Anna? We hide them in the side cloisters. But the documents can start to be passed out from the back, deacons. One of the gifts that a member family have made possible for our anniversary year is a cloth bag. And if you're a saver and connoisseur of cloth bags, it has a wide bottom with a firm insert. Okay. And it says, Our Savior Lutheran, serving our Lord 100 plus years in St. Clair. And then port here in Michigan, 48060. You can't miss it. Advertise us. We have been serving. We continue. For our officers, here's Anna Morrison. Hi, Anna. She's waving. We'll see.
Do we need some more music time for radio? Yeah, why don't you play?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here for our nominating for the next year for the different committees and reviewing our budget. Why don't we open in prayer? Dear Lord, be with our congregation today. Lead us with wisdom. Help us open our hearts and our minds to go over our budget, our nominating, and the future of our congregation in this next coming year. In your name, dear Lord, we pray. Amen. We will start with the nominating elections. So for the we are for the Secretary of Council for 1 year remaining. We are looking to nominate, and she accepted, Hope Dorsbacher to take over for Donna. Do we have to vote on each one or do it all together? All right. Deacons. We have for 8:30, Jody Norris. 11 o'clock, we have Nathan Mack, Dan Mack, Hope Dorsbacher, Linda Soulier, and Mark Wilson. And the alternatives, we have four, Elizabeth Kilborn, Kay Price, Ken Perry, and Don Martin. The trustees, Doug Cole, Bill Price, and Terry Ruff. The Senate Assembly, Scott Pike and Tony Gaines. Board of Ed is Judy Quater, Cheryl Dorsbacher, and myself, Anna Morrison. The Evangelical Committee, Mary Patterson and Amanda Mack. And for next year's nominating committee, we have Jean Kingler, Terry Cattato, Judy Quater, Sandy Smith, Helen DeTerry, Debbie Colley, Jennifer Hudson, Cheryl Deasing. Do we have a motion to take these nominations? Do we have any nominations from the floor for any of the committees? No? Do we accept these nominations? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And now we are on to the budget. And I'm going to hand this part over to Doug Cole.
Hopefully you all have a copy of the budget before you. I'll go through it with you and
you've been listening
to answer
the
any questions
Sunday morning worship comments. Service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.